Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Thursday morning. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Steak and Sandra, three straight days of nothing but love as we take you through kind of a sleepy Thursday morning. Weather
That's a
isn't
good
great.
Way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wasn't sleepy in my house, I promise you that. Was not sleepy.
The girls hit the concert scene again last night at Lakewood, right?
Right, the Lakewood show last night. Did you want to remind me who that was? Bruno?
I wish I
some
knew.
Some kind of DJ asked. Do you want to look up who it was? Because, So Sophie, they're in the middle of finals, but I guess to be a college kid, you can't miss a big show at Lakewood, but everybody was talking about it. And they rolled into town, took over the Shapiro house.
Asked the band?
Yeah, who was it? It's like electronic music type band.
I can't find it. And this computer, this is another thing to get me aggravated, so just move along.
Anyway, so there's four or five girls from her sorority, girls she lives with in Athens. And first, of course, like, hey, do you mind getting us some tequila? If you just happen to be on your way home, it's like 3:20 in the afternoon. I was like, yeah. Like, we're really not on our way home at 3:20. There's a kind of like 10 other things we got to do. But at some point, they do their pregame, and they take their Uber, and then they roll back in after the concert around 11:15.
Rufus DeSoul.
Yes, Rufus DeSoul. Is he a DJ, or is he – what is he?
Girl, why are you – I am your age.
Sorry.
I don't know. These are for teenagers that drink Rufus. Tequila, and they like, they're professionals.
Well, it wasn't just teenagers, but that's a huge act.
Yes.
So I come downstairs in my pajamas. I'm watching the Lakers and the T-Wolves, and they come rolling at 11:15. I got a great friend named King Ron who is nice enough sometimes.
Driver.
He's in the limo / business, whatever. Great friend of mine. He gets
his name's King Ron.
Well, we nicknamed the kids did. They named him King
so
Ron because he got us after the SEC title game, and he maneuvered through all this traffic.
You're the king. Yeah.
So they're just like, he's King Ron. He's not
That's
Ron.
Great.
So King Ron, and then I'm going to tell you this: I've seen men eat. I've seen men get after four or five large pizzas that time of night. What was going on in my kitchen with these girls? The amount of food. At combinations of, like, I think it was my wife has said, guys come home, they get their pizzas, and they're content. Like, let's order three. These girls are putting flavor combinations. One girl's doing fried eggs. The other one is, like, making toast and then turning it into a grilled cheese. Sophie found my leftovers. By the way, I was at a fabulous restaurant last night, number 246 in Decatur.
The best.
One of the great Italian restaurants of all time. Mm-hmm. So they found that every girl had their own little culinary thing going on the console there. And I just like watched it. I did my 10 minutes. It was getting me very stressed. I said, clean up the kitchen. I don't care what you do, but there's nothing that makes me more stressed than walking downstairs and seeing like a kitchen that has not been left from the night before.
I did not know that about you in 20-something years.
That's unmade beds. If I come home.
Unmade beds and kitchens in the morning need to be clean. That's fair enough.
Yeah, I don't want to see stuff from the night before. I don't care what you do. Take all the food in the world, like any combinations. But I don't want to come home and start my day. And there is a whole thing about clutter and anxiety and how it sets up your day, which is why they tell you to make your bed or do whatever. So sure enough, downstairs, 6 a.m., they were heading back to Athens. They got finals, and kitchen was clean. Gave them a big kiss and said, hope you had fun. So that was it. But my God, these girls were not playing around. I was like, okay.
Is your kitchen generally stocked with food?
Not great. It's too much takeout. Because we're running around.
Yep.
And then you got to feed. Every kid's got different culinary desires. Neither one of us are great cooks. Me
if
and my
I opened
wife.
Your pantry right now, what's my go-to snack? What's in there?
Oh, probably cheese and crackers, maybe some chicken salad, always fruit, watermelon, grapes, that type of thing. But nothing, it's not that exciting. Not
there's like, no Cape Cod chips. There's no
we try not
pimento
to.
Cheese.
Yeah, there's pimento cheese. Right. There's definitely pimento cheese.
There's certainly not Snickers bars or those Tate's chips.
Yeah, my kid loves what's the chips they have at Jersey Mike's? What's the brand they have there? I don't know. That
Outs? Is it the Outs chip?
Zat? Was that well, the one from New Orleans? We should do that later. What's the best chip out there?
Yeah.
We should do a
or what's
chip.
In your pantry? Like, if you open, because I'll go to some of my friends' house, I'm like, there's mustard and some old eggs. Why? What's happening
yeah,
in this refrigerator?
Yeah, because they weigh like 110 pounds, some of your girlfriends, right? So they don't allow food to be in the house.
Meanwhile,
I wish you could
if
see.
If there is a terrible, whatever you call it, you need a shelter, come to our house because Larry has enough food for 27 people, and there's
is he like
meat.
A survivalist?
He is a Costco-esque.
But
he loves to have food. If someone or we want at any moment to make any meal ever, it is in the pantry.
One of the great nights of my life, Kevin Rathbun came over, famous chef in Atlanta, and he was watching games at my house one night, and we'd all been out getting after it. And I was like, I don't think I have anything to cook here, Kevin. He's like, dude, I got you. Next thing you know, dude, he's chopping up like steak meat. He's pulling out sauces. He found bread that was in the freezer that he's and next
it's like Top Chef. They give you some ingredients, dude, come up with something fabulous.
My buddies were high-fiving.
Oh, that's
like
so
we
great.
Had LeBron James in the living room.
They're well, like, you could have LeBron James in your living room
you
tomorrow.
Might. You might. Yeah, yeah, you could. You could have him on the beach as well. Hey, let's do this in sound that we need to hear, right? And then we'll get into the 9 at 9, which is, I thought, super entertaining even before the Lakers get eliminated, which we'll talk about in a 9 at 9. And that is J.J. Redick, typically wound a little tight. He's a dookie. Right?
Yes, he
you know, is. You know what that mindset is. Are we ready to go with this, Bo, or not?
Hold on.
All right. So, if you hadn't heard, the Lakers are done. Anthony Edwards and company. Rudy Gobert had the game of his life last night as they go on to the second round of the playoffs. And J.J. Redick the other night plays his entire starting five, the entire 12 minutes, which has never happened in NBA history, that a head coach has played the entire team 12 minutes. And by the end, Anthony Edwards was torching them. And basically, J.J. Redick gets blamed for the loss. So we have that ready to rock and roll? Yay or nay, Bo?
We don't have it. So we'll play it later. But I literally almost texted our little text chain because J.J. Redick was asked, hey, are you maybe going to consult your assistant coaches? Because of, you know, the fourth quarter and maybe mixing. Well, he stops him. So are you asking me? Or I don't know what I'm doing. You think I'm inexperienced? And he basically storms out of the presser. That was pregame. And I was like, I'm taking Minnesota and whatever that number is. And
because
it was
why?
Disastrous. Well, if he's wound that tight that early and then, you know, hashtag small ball. They're trying to play small ball with the Minnesota Timberwolves,
yep.
And he won't go. He's so stubborn, I guess, is what the analysts were saying. He's so stubborn.
Well, they also have he won't put a bigger guys out
Rudy
there.
Gobert had 9 points, like, before you could get settled in your seat, so he didn't make adjustments. He won't throw other players in there, the bigger play. So he's just, and I mean, some people and coaches and players, they get stuck, and, you know.
Rudy Gobert had 24 points and 21 rebounds, okay? Yeah. That doesn't happen. 24 points and 21 rebounds. And the great the great trade in the history of modern civilization, they're already out. The Lakers won one game in the playoffs with LeBron and Luka. They won one game in the playoffs, they're out 4-1 with Luka.
4-1, a gentleman's sweep.
And there is a 40% chance LeBron doesn't come back. Okay, so let's say 60% that he comes back.
I think it's higher than that. Why do you say just 40?
Okay, maybe 70.
LeBron is going to do a LeBron tour. If
I was thinking about that, too. Because of his love of LeBron, which is fine, he's going to want the tour, right?
Which I don't blame him. Okay.
But, I, you know, he can't, he's He's not that same guy, and that roster is a bad roster, and that cap hits $51 million, so I'm not exactly sure. But let's tell you what else happened, okay. And we'll do our 9 at 9.
Okie dokie. Rockets keeping it interesting, 131-116. Houston was up by 29 late in the third, and Steve Kerr plays his bench players. So he's conceding. He's done. Warriors lead it now 3-2. They'll play again, I believe, on Friday night. Dyson Daniels, woohoo! Most improved player, the great barrier thief. Okay. He should have won Defensive Player of the Year. I like what he said afterwards. That he was on with actually the Inside the NBA, and he said, I hope I can win another one of these because I think there's so much ceiling for me.
Well, you gotta have to go.
I love him.
Yeah, he averaged 5 the year before and went up over 10 points on that. The most disruptive player I've ever watched on the defensive side of the ball.
Dang.
Well, one of. I mean, listen, because the big guys are just blocking shots when guys go through the lane. Dyson Daniels, you game plan against him to get him off your best player. That's how good he is. You game plan against him. Defensively.
I was reading Doc Rivers and comments about him earlier in the season when they played him, and he was echoing your sentiments of I've never seen a player on the court that was so great defensively ever in my life.
Gets his hands in the middle of everything.
Braves wasted a masterpiece by Chris Sale yesterday. They lose 2-1. They're off today. Settle in before the big three with the Dodgers. Chris Sale, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, season high for him. No walks, allows just 2 runs. Braves had just 3 hits. It was just one of those days. Get out of there. They end up going 4-2 on this road trip.
Yeah, 4-2 is a good number, but Colorado is historically bad, and now you have the Dodgers for 3. Would have been real nice to get the W at Colorado, but... Listen, that's why they play the games. Even really, really bad teams are going to win 30 games a year. That's one of their 30 you'd imagine the Rockies will win.
As we were getting off the air, you heard the news. That is terrible. The Falcons fined $250,000. Jeff Ulbrich, $100,000. He is just really to watch that. It was uncomfortable to watch Jeff Ulbrich, which you'll hear shortly. He was very emotional, and you can tell he was just really beat up, and I felt bad for him.
Yeah, part of what we do. You got anything else?
I was just going to mention that they did exercise Drake London's.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah. And that happened.
Wondering why it took so long? Because in my head, I think they were trying to extend him as opposed to... Because I was like, why are you the last one? So he was the last one on that draft list that was still around to be undecided. Some people have said we're
He's
not
He's the only
gonna.
One that hadn't been
so
re-signed.
I think, don't you guys think there was something more to that? I think they were trying to extend
him. Yeah, maybe.
And they're like, no, we'll just bet on ourselves.
Yeah,
so,
the agent knows.
Yeah, I think so too.
The sky's the limit
9
for Drake
to 5,
London.
Y'all. Panics to Drake London.
Sky's the limit. Yeah, anybody knows, we're talking sports. This isn't real world. We're not talking tariffs and Zelensky and any of the other. But I will say this. Sometimes you're looking at the insides of a man that is pretty broken. And there's no other way to describe Jeff Ulbrich yesterday than that. A broken man in front of the media. Our thoughts on how this whole thing played out. And I have a theory on the Falcons. Time to exercise those demons. I have a theory on the Falcons. I'll tell you how we're going to do it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:23. My name is Steak. That's Sandra. We've been doing this a while. It's great to be here on a Thursday morning. Rusty will be here tomorrow. So look forward to that. The best in the business, Rusty Manziel, with great news about his company and all the things that they have going on. I don't want to watch this Braves game, though. This Braves game upsets me. I don't want to. I know they're showing the replay. Those of you who don't know, Chris Sale was awesome yesterday, mm-hmm. and the Braves couldn't get it going in Colorado. They lose to just a horrendous Rockies team. They run the replay. That was a day game yesterday, a much-needed day off for the Braves, and then a classic Atlanta weekend, man. Atlanta United in town on Saturday afternoon. The Braves in town on Saturday night. The Kentucky Derby going on Saturday. We'll talk more about that. So all kinds of good stuff happening for sure.
I don't want to be a buzzkill. However, the rain, y'all. The weather looks so terrible for Friday and Saturday nights.
Friday nights?
Yeah, all day, literally 70% and then 65%.
Did I ever tell you my Kentucky Derby story? I went to a fancy Kentucky Derby trip that the guys from Heineken took me on years ago. My buddy Bruce Scala, shout out to CMO over at Hooters. invited him and his girlfriend invited us on a trip. We took a Winnebago to Louisville. Stayed at one of those motels. There's not a lot of places to stay, and we were dressed up fancy, me and my wife. And we went to Churchill Downs for the first time ever, and it was a significant rainfall for much of the morning. A significant rainfall. And we were in a bougie VIP tent.
Okay.
High-level VIP tent. Okay. And we were off to the side getting probably some appetizers or some food. It was a big enough area. So that was not exactly under the main tent. Well, the water built up so big. You know what I'm going to tell you? Next thing you know, a lot of very rich people got really wet.
It
only could hold so much of the top of the tent.
Oh.
And it caved. And the entire water was like a mini tidal wave. And all these pretty ladies that had, been planning their outfits for how long? Head to toe drenched.
Oh, I have seen that happen, y'all. I've been at a wedding where there's big tents.
Yeah.
And it just...
It's exactly what happened.
Gravity wins.
Gravity.
And off we go.
Me and Kimberly, we're like, oh, that's going to leave a mark. Like these poor women... All dolled up, and they're just soaked. There's two kinds of people. Either that goes, son of a, or just like, give me another mint julep. Like, that's, hey, what are we going to do, right?
You're going to roll with it, baby.
You got to roll with
exactly
the punches.
Exactly right.
Speaking of rolling with the punches, the Atlanta Falcons have no choice. They have no choice. The level of embarrassment I'm sure they feel, a human moment yesterday watching our defensive coordinator, Jeff Albrecht, have to do a very public apology, which he did very well. He was very astute at, first off, and I'm sure it was very, very, very planned out.
Thoughtful.
Thoughtful in terms of who gets apology first, right?
Yep.
First apology was Shador and Dion, saying he was incredibly great, way more gracious than they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Then Arthur Blank, then Terry Fontenot, then Raheem Morris, and then in general. A human moment of somebody living through one of the worst days of his life. Again, nobody's dying of cancer. Nobody hits somebody and, kids not up on vehicular homicide. There's not, mugshots or anything. But for a family to be put out there in this manner... Like I always tell my kids, listen, there's very, very often going to be ramifications for behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you say the wrong thing, tweet the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, treat someone the wrong way, there are going to be ramifications. We've all dealt with it. When you're younger, you try to avoid or make excuses. You get old enough, you go, I screwed up. I had it coming. Whatever results come from it, you say, I'm a big boy. I'm a big girl. Yep, this is what has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be ramifications. The ramifications were severe. You were used as the example by the National Football League of how absolutely unacceptable this trend we're hearing about, pranking draft picks with proprietary information. And Jeff Albrecht is out there basically talking yesterday.
It's difficult, but like I said, it's something that I brought upon myself and my son brought upon himself. So it's one of those things where we gotta take this on the chin, and we absolutely are doing that and taking full responsibility, and I'm hopeful we'll grow and be better because of it.
He was very emotional, and I'm sure you guys have watched it by now, or you should. It's on the YouTubes. But I mean, he was borderline crying and trying to hold it together. It was... uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable to watch. That's a great way to put it. It's the moment in the living room when it was all like a bad dream and you probably screamed at your kid like crazy and you probably threw something down and everything else. And then you probably just sat there on the couch with your head in your hands and said, I cannot believe this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that my new employer, I have a new job here, a massive job, that I have just trumped our draft. I've trumped virtually every story. I am now trending as the lead on ESPN, and your head was probably in your hands, and there's a lot of tears, mom and that kid, and everybody's crying, realizing, What a nightmare. Now you can get through it, and yesterday was the start of getting past it. But when that fine came down, that news, that was horrible news. Because whatever you thought 2 days ago, what's the worst that could happen? That was about the worst that could happen.
That was the opposite of a slap on the wrist when your team is fined $250,000 dollars and you personally have to write a check for $100,000.
I would imagine it's very hard for Jeff Albrook to be looking and be in front of Arthur Blank, not just yesterday or 2 days ago, but for the next however many months. I mean, imagine every time you walk by him, you realize that was a $250,000 fine. I mean, he'll have to work through it. What do we always say? You never learned anything from success. Everything comes from adversity, measures true character. Well, that family's dealing with it. Here he is talking about being a dad and being a father.
Yeah, they've been challenging, but, you know, we brought this upon ourselves, you know, and the fact that I didn't protect the data well enough, and my son did something, obviously he has a great amount of regret.
So, you know me, as a true journalist.
Journalist?
How does this happen? So if you start to follow, okay, Shador, and why was it Shador? And I thought Adam Schefter had a real good take on this in terms of what he was hearing and why, what were the steps that Shador got that call?
But I got a text on Sunday night that said, the Shador prank thing is awful, but shows their naivete by not hiring an agent. The fact that they had the league send his number to the entire football distribution list was such a mistake, one that wouldn't have happened with an agent who would have handled that communication. I've never seen the league share a draft prospect's number with the entire distribution list. As soon as I saw the email on Thursday of draft day, I was like, oh no. And the league probably shouldn't have disseminated it the way that they did, knowing it was ripe for abuse.
Okay, so I'll take you one step further as we learn that Abdul Carter also got a prank call from the Jaguars, okay? So Drew Rosenhaus was there, took the call.
Fake Jaguars.
Fake Jaguars.
Yes.
That was not happening. So Drew Rosenhaus, as the agent,
deciphered it.
Said, yeah, this isn't. So, and we're learning you heard six others. Those six others had agents that are there to kind of get through. My other question, Stake, and I wonder if y'all were thinking about this. Why does Jeff Albrick, defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, have Shador Sanders contact?
Well, it sounds like Adam Schefter said anybody in NFL personnel, which means coordinators on both sides, coaches, like that's the point. That number got filtered through a database, which is NFL coaching
but
staff.
But I would even say NFL database.
What are you supposed to separate? We're only going to send the defensive coaches?
No. I think really on draft day, it should be the GM only and maybe your head coach only.
But it's
only
probably already been sent out to everybody. That's what they're saying. Shador Sanders was sent out to an NFL database that normally the agent would have protected that number
so
better.
So you got to, through this, can we learn better? And I thought Mina Kimes had the best suggestion, which was FaceTime. In the future, when that call is made, it has to be FaceTime. So that, in fact, it's
somebody's
the
looking at you on the other side.
And they're looking at you and make sure you're who's on the both ends of the phone.
I think it's the most awkward when they show the owner talking to the player, then the GM, and then that. Yeah, put it all on FaceTime. Put them all there together. Yeah. Here's what I was going to say about the Falcons. It is time to exorcise these demons. The demons of, forget about 28-3, but just the Marcus Mariota. The Desmond Ridder, the Kirk Cousins, the loss of a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
We need to wipe it all away. I don't know what Dansby Swanson do when he was trying to exorcise demons.
The sage. He went out to the shortstop position, ran the sage in the.
Like, I believe through this, great things are on the horizon. I believe that Jalen Carter falling and getting James Pierce and getting Michael Penix. And watching, like, I think it's about to turn all of it.
The stars are aligning for us.
But we've got to rid ourselves, whatever
sage.
That means. I don't know if it's sage, thyme, rosemary, whatever it is. But we have got to get over. And I hope we're sitting here talking about NFC Championship game sooner rather than later. And all this is in our rearview mirror because it's time. It's time for
Vegas
something good.
Vegas does not see this like we see this, Stake.
Well, it's time for something good to happen.
I agree.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Please,
time
God.
For something good, like sitting next to a really hot girl on an airplane.
Thank you.
That's 50
Thank
years.
You. Oh,
no,
I
that's
you
50
know.
Years
oh,
younger
okay.
than you. Oh. Why the Bill Belichick story continues to fascinate everybody in America, and it ain't just sports fans. Also, an article that Sandra just showed me. You talk about a girl getting paid. Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, 941 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being with us. Steak and Sandra. Follow us on Odyssey, on the Odyssey app. You get the Odyssey app, good things are going to happen. We do a great job of continuing to really push out the big interviews, the big moments, the access that we get that nobody else in town has. Home of the Falcons, home of the Hawks, home of the Atlanta United, and home of the biggest sporting events, the best ratings, the number one sports station in the Southeast. I get privy. I sneak into Mike's office, and I get into his computer. Am I allowed to say that?
Not these days. The Falcons frown on you getting into other people's computers and iPads.
Well, I've seen a dominance in ratings like I've never seen before, and our show particularly. So,
well, that's good news. That's great.
Yeah, we're going to at least be here till the end of the week. That's all that means. I'll be here. I will not be lox and bageled this morning, it looks like. I'll be able to get through the show. So, my wife said to me yesterday, as we were talking about, I was carrying on about Bill Belichick, and I was saying, how could the North Carolina Board of Regents not be mortified right now? How could his family, have you ever seen a more lofty fall from grace in terms of how someone is perceived? And she's just like, why are you so emotional? Like, when you talk about this, you're getting three levels higher. I said, I just find this thing absolutely fascinating. Now, obviously, having followed New England for years and being close to that situation and, you know, knowing the crafts a little bit and you know, I don't know, maybe that part was coming out. I just find it a fascinating story. It's a story about the human condition. It's a story about the frailties of men in particular. It rings of like why the president of the United States would, you know, hook up with an intern and risk his entire legacy for, you know, a salacious affair with a young girl that puts everything that he worked for in jeopardy. And then, you know, as there's an expression, blank is undefeated. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Okay. You know, like, you are being paraded out, emasculated, embarrassing yourself. And I don't feel bad for you at all. You're petty and you're petulant and you treat people horribly at press conferences for years. Your ego is completely out of control. The way you trolled the Falcons with your little, piece of work there, you deserve everything bad that's happening to you because it catches up eventually. And how you treat people matters. It's why the NFL didn't want to touch you. That's why Arthur Blank, at the end of the day, cooler heads prevailed, and he said, I don't need this guy in my building. I don't need his culture because Tom Brady's not here to save him. Kirk Cousins can't save him, and Michael Penix, Tom Brady did. And now that 60 Minutes, CBS Sunday morning interview, Bill Belichick in Carolina put on their website?
Bill Belichick issues the statement, and UNC posts it on their website. And I'm also going to chime in, and you guys know this. The news cycle has a way of taking care of itself. So a couple days of talking about this, again, we're now on Thursday. If he decides yesterday now to put this out there, this statement, and I don't think his statement was so earth-shattering. I think the CBS follow-up was better.
Oh, I loved it. Belichick, by the way, says that the interview produced a false narrative. Sorry, the cuts away of her produced a false narrative. Some of the clips made it appear as though we were avoiding the question of how we met. We've been open about the fact that we met on a flight to Palm Beach in 2021. They also said we had reviewed numerous times with CBS that this interview would be about football and that it was not be about our personal life, and that pact was broken. What was the CBS response?
CBS responds late yesterday afternoon saying, when we agreed to speak with Mr. Belichick, it was for a wide-ranging interview. There were no preconditions or limitations to this conversation. This was confirmed repeatedly with his publisher before this interview took place and after it was completed. So how this worked, Steak, and you guys know how what goes on many, many times if you're dealing with athletes, but I used to be on these TV and movie circuits, so we would, I mean, I'm with Will Ferrell, I'm with George Clooney. There's always a rep in the room, and it's kind of before time they will say he's not going to answer any questions about his divorce or whatever particular. It's done very professionally. It's I never have had an interview interrupted. I've gone off script a little bit, but let me continue because I want to say this. In the middle of that interview, when he's trying to tell you a book about, we really want to hear about where the two boys are that blew up the footballs. They've never been heard from again. We want to hear about your relationship with Robert Kraft. The fact that you're talking about your football knowledge, that actually is the most boring thing here. So the interviewer, who is very good at his job, has won many a Pulitzer Prize, he's great at what he does, is no in the room. And he said the story isn't Bill Belichick. The story is Jordan, who is nonstop, like, overbearing.
Well, she became the story. Listen.
So that's what I meant. Yes. I think they pivoted midstream. Yes. And they don't answer to her. I don't care what she wants. I would keep rolling as she would have said everything.
I love what Dan Patrick said. If you want to keep screaming, we'll get a chair. Come sit down.
Please come sit.
Because you're interrupting it. Here's the difference with your cattle call interviews with George Clooney and all the folks, Will Ferrell that you've interviewed, Jennifer Lopez.
You name all the big movies.
You have zero leverage.
Have zero leverage. They can kick me out in 1 second.
And not only that, we are agreeing to do the interview because we are at said small radio station
CSS in Atlanta, Georgia.
And we will take it on the chin and keep our mouths shut and behave because you have all the leverage.
Perfect.
So you agree to it.
Yeah.
CBS Sunday Morning is the number one piece of journalism in America. Their 12-minute pieces are the gold standard of anything that is done. It's a nonpartisan show for the most part.
It's partisan, but it's these kind of features. Not that, they're not bringing.
It's not 60 minutes, okay? I know you could argue.
It's heavy to one side, in my opinion, nonetheless.
Well, most of the show is not political at all. 80% of it is on entertainers and feel good
books
stories
and right travel.
So
and,
they're not, they have the leverage.
Right.
They approach 100%. Them. If they're talking to Elon Musk, who wrote a book, if they're talking to Tim Cook at Apple, if they're talking to Jeff Bezos, it's pretty much guaranteed they have no ability to control what is asked. Right? If you think that a book by Bill Belichick about football that a lot of people in America could care less about.
It's got nothing in it.
Zero leverage. They had zero. In a million years, they want to get on and sell the book. They're begging CBS to get on there. And CBS says, we'll do a lot of football. We'll do a lot. But then, of course, we're going
to literally the forward is to my muse, Jordan.
Okay, but the point is she became the story.
She's the
that
story.
Was the last 3 minutes. We're going to talk about your personal life.
Yeah.
They threw him a bone. They talked about his dad. By the way, I'm spending $10 million a year. I'm a North Carolina alum that helped pay this. I'm on the athletic board. This arrogant, this self-aggrandized, you know, condescending jerk can't put on a Carolina shirt for CBS Sunday Morning and that massive audience.
I would say she failed at her job when they got up and he doesn't even forget Carolina. How about a suit or something? That torn up Navy sweatshirt.
Okay, I get it. Your dad was at Navy for 40 years. I know the entire Bill Belichick story.
That was a terrible
hole in it.
It was terrible.
How about this? Wear a North Carolina shirt.
100%.
Wear a North Carolina football jersey. You showed your arrogance there towards your school. You wore a Navy shirt there to show everybody I'm not sucking up to Carolina, even though they're paying me $10 million. Nobody else would hire me, but they're going to hire me. And you have your muse parading around the way she is. And then CBS simply writes that statement, like you said, that's adorable. We would never agree and never agree to anything about restrictions in the interview. And if we did, you know what CBS would have said? Bye-bye.
I guarantee they were like, we got something.
And then
here.
The story from the New York Post that comes out, and she has it coming, and he has it coming of multiple properties all over Massachusetts that she's been buying.
She's accrued $8 million worth of real estate, and it dates back to December of 2023. She buys three houses for $7.5 million. 18 months after, $610,000 on a cottage in Cape Cod. Her parents were in the fishing business. They went bankrupt in the year 2000. Her mom manages a sex toy shop.
Hey now.
So, y'all, what's happening is likely not great for her because she's opened up this can of worms.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because,
be
like,
careful.
I'm very, very suspicious. And I know you poo-poo it. You just think it's a guy that's like, he's smitten with a young girl. That's not the first.
That's a tale
as old as time. I get it. But steak.
Why is it any different than Jeff Bezos' girlfriend, who, by the way, Lauren Sanchez? My only point is, and by the way, I shouldn't say that about her. She's married to Tony Gonzalez. It's a beautiful. Oh, they had a baby together. So it's a beautiful young woman that has reeled in, you know, an unbelievably wealthy, famous man. And she's now getting to buy all kinds of stuff under her name that Belichick's giving her the money. The guy made $20 million a year.
I don't know this. I'm peeling back the onion, y'all. There's a lot of money early on, and if, in fact, they allegedly met when she was 20, and this is going a long time, the fact that they are feeding into this engine that won't let it go, because if I'm a PR person, I'm in their heads going, let this
guy
down.
Why wouldn't Carolina call Bill Belichick in and say, knock it off?
What are you doing? Right.
Knock
it off.
So I'm
listening to Dan Patrick yesterday afternoon, y'all, and Charles Barkley is on there.
Who's buddies with Bill Belichick. Good friends.
I mean, the first part of this, he literally starts, y'all, and you could tell if you watch the whole clip, Charles Barkley hesitates a few times by, man, he's a real good friend of mine. I don't know.
From what I'm hearing, it's starting to be a very slippery slope. And I never talk about people's personal relationship. That's another rule I got. But I will admit, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff that's going on. I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good, but I am concerned from what I'm hearing. It's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
And he's such a control freak, but he's relinquished control, it feels like. That's what's surprising to me.
Yeah, I have very strict rules on things. Don't ask me no personal questions. Nobody in my family can speak. No, I'm the one who's famous. I'm the one who have to deal with all the crap. No, don't say anything. Because if you say something, it's just going to muddy the water. That's what I call it. If any family member speak out, it's just going to muddy the water.
Steak, I want to ask you something. Because a guy in car, or even gal in car, when you feel the wheels coming off of one of your friends and something's up, and you've just completely out of character, and you have to say, we got to talk about something. Like, this isn't right. So for Charles Barkley to say, I actually think I'm going to call him.
Yeah, he says, I'm worried for him. Like, there's something wrong. I said, it's almost like there's a level of dementia. He looks delirious. How do you explain getting on that beach and doing those poses and thinking that that's not going to make you look ridiculous? You're trying to recruit at the highest level and win a national title or go to the playoffs or win the ACC. There's nothing about what you're doing that's helping your job. You are embarrassing yourself, and some people would feel bad for him. How can you feel bad for somebody that's treated people so horribly?
And when Bill Belichick didn't miss a minute when somebody in his press conferences with the Patriots said something, I'm not talking about that. We're on to Cincinnati. For him to sit there
20 years he put
and
him.
Looked... He literally looked out of it when she has.
She's
to jump
sitting
in.
Right there. How'd y'all meet? You didn't know that was coming. Could you?
Right. But
I don't understand why he has leverage with Carolina, other than they're all in now. For somebody to say she's you know what happened with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? The gap was Brady's personal fitness guy, right? Guerrero.
Oh, that's right. That's
Alex
right.
Guerrero.
Yeah.
Who eventually Belichick said he's off campus, and he's like, "What do you mean he's not part of our team? Why isn't somebody to Carolina say she needs to be removed? She's not allowed. She doesn't have access, and we're not. You have to fire her from."
So
that
I said,
job.
"This seems awfully big, y'all. This is bigger than what we're thinking, in my opinion. And I don't know what it looks like yet. All I know is we should buy Raheem Morris, deliver him some of those yummy cookies, because I am so thankful that Mr. Bellawhipped is not up there at Flowery Branch sitting here running our team. I could not be more thrilled.
Miserable.
Can y'all imagine? God bless
you got, well, yeah, you
the
got
broken
to
road.
Hey, when we come back, we'll talk about a big moment for a Hawks player. We'll also talk about how everybody said it was the greatest trade in history. Was it? Sports Radio 92.9. It's the Steakhouse Sports Radio.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 The Game, Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden, the 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Thank you for being with us as we sift through some of the stories happening on and off the field. Certainly Bill Belichick was off the field. Jeff Albrecht and the Falcons, I'm hoping that was it. The final day of our malaise, our seven-year malaise, ends. Let's get back to work. No more stories of quarterbacks that leave your team in midseason. Marcus Mariota, quarterbacks like Desmond Ridder, who, you know, massively was the wrong decision to run this team. Stories of a $120 million quarterback that lasted essentially nine games. Stories of lost draft picks and all, get them all behind us. Get it all behind us. And just think about Jalen Walker in a Falcons uniform running in the Mercedes-Benz Dome with a bunch of Georgia jerseys and Falcons jerseys. And let's get to work. Drake London signed picked up on his fifth year option. And I have a feeling this thing has gone on way too long. The Falcons are about to have a really, really exciting few years, given how things played out on draft night. But anyway,
God's ears.
Yes, certainly be great for everybody in this city. There's nothing like, I was telling somebody last night, when the NFL team is cooking, right? Because everybody is not a Georgia fan, even though it feels like it sometimes. It's Tennessee fans, Auburn fans, Bama fans, it's Miami fans. If you live in Atlanta, yes, you may have grown up in Wisconsin, or you may have grown up in, you know, Cape Cod. Or Jersey, but when the NFL team's winning, everybody wants to root for the NFL team in town. Everybody wants to get behind the NFL team, and it would be a great fall to have that happen. So those were some of the off-the-field things that were going on. On the field or on the court, the Lakers and T-Wolves was a very intriguing first-round matchup, and let's just say that it did not go well for Lakers. And if you're not a fan of LeBron or you're not a fan of the Lakers or any of that, you really enjoyed the five-game series where Ant-Man, really up until last night, where he wasn't as big a factor last night, they dust them off four games to one. What do they call it? A gentleman's sweep?
Gentleman's sweep.
I'm just going to say when Rudy Gobert has 27 points and 24 rebounds in 39 minutes, that is not supposed to happen. 27 points, 24 boards, nine of them offensive, and they run right through. Anthony Edwards only has 12 points. They're done. Luka and LeBron, watch out. Everybody, now we got this 1-2 punch in the Western Conference. Well, Lakers-Celtics could be the NBA Finals again. Man, oh, man, Lakers, oh, okay. Dorian Finney-Smith, Austin Reeves. They played a guy last night that hadn't played in 6 months, Maxi Kleber. Jared Vanderbilt. Gabe Vincent. Does that sound like a championship team to you?
It does not.
Yeah.
It
does. So, Hachimura, who had a 23. Dude, those guys aren't going anywhere.
The headlines, what went Lakers and should they... should they be in the finals? What were your expectations?
They have no big guys.
Right.
They got absolutely tooled by Rudy Gobert. And that group of players, and by the way, maybe more stars find their way to L.A., but I thought the best window for the Lakers was LeBron on the backside of his career and Luka, who is absolutely, personally violated by that trade out of Dallas. So if this was their best window, they're out in the first round in five games. So here's LeBron after the game asked a couple of things. One of them is, do you need more help? I just read to you those names. And by the way, one second. Go look at the Oklahoma. There's none of those guys would even play on that team. Look at the Boston Celtics, where Peyton Pritchard, sixth man of the year, can't start because they got two other guards. And that guy's awesome, and so is. Go look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, where Dondre Hunter is just one of 10 pieces. And then look at the Laker team, and you tell me, are they close?
No comment. I never say that because my guy AD said what he needed and then he was gone the following week. So I got no comment.
So
what does that mean? I thought you wanted Luka Doncic there. AD said they need help.
He sent, like, what's the center in that seems to be? It was the longest question on the face of the earth. That was his answer. But I thought, and I think LeBron is smarter than the average bear, for him to draw any Davis mention that time and place.
I'm going to tell you who this morning may have went for a coffee and put a little Kahlua in there. Maybe him and his family, they did a little skippity-dippity-dip when he came out.
Yep.
I think he probably woke up, did a little cold plunge, and didn't even feel it. And that's, is it Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavs, who's just like, huh. Well, I got Kyrie Irving, and I got Anthony Davis, and I got a pretty good supporting cast, and I think we can contend for the Western Conference next year. And I'll promise you this, Dallas is in a lot better shape than the Lakers are right now. So I'm not telling you it was a good trade to trade Luka Doncic in his prime as a seminal player in NBA history, possibly. But I'll tell you right now, I'll take the Dallas Mavericks win total over the Lakers next year in a heartbeat. Here's LeBron. You coming back?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Something I sit down with my family, my wife, and my support group and kind of just talk through it and see what happens. And then just have a conversation with myself on how long I want to continue to play. I don't know the answer to that right now, to be honest. So we'll see.
Last year, the Lakers were done 4-1 to the Nuggets. And this year, 4-1 to Minnesota.
Yeah. Look at the T-Wolves, by the way. Julius Randle and the Karl-Anthony Towns trade. He was awesome. Jaden McDaniels, really nice player. Gobert goes 27-24. Off the bench, Naz Reid went sixth man of the year last year. DiVincenzo, the kid from Villanova. I mean, just their lineup. Forget about the fact that you're going to now move into have to deal with the Clippers are going to be around. The Nuggets are going to be around. Oklahoma City's friggin' loaded. I don't know where the Lakers are, but that's why you let trades play themselves out. We don't know the day after the draft who won the draft. That's dumb. You don't know the day after a trade who won the trade. You don't even know the season. Luka Doncic may win two titles in L.A. and it's 2029, and we go, how could you have ever traded him away? But, you know, Anthony Davis is not – he's not LeBron. LeBron's 40. He's 40. I'm a man. No, LeBron – Anthony Davis is 31 years old. And
there's no way that's how LeBron James goes out, losing 4-1 to Minnesota. There's no way.
But Sandra, how do you fix it? I mean, that's a bunch of Skrabinskis. Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, the great pick that was, is he injured? The white boy from Tennessee? Is he even on that roster anymore? Dalton Connect. Greatest draft pick ever. How did he drop so far down? That guy's going to do everything. Dalton Connect can't get off the bench. Zachary Risochet was just runner-up for Rookie of the Year. So careful when we decided, right? So,
what do you? JJ Redick is catching it from everybody. Like because that was the fail. Literally, we're watching on our TV. Did JJ Redick let the Lakers down?
Well, he played
the arrogance that he won't. He won't shift defensively, and this is. I mean,
dude, he didn't. He didn't have any big guys. Rudy Gobert. That those numbers. That's like. Tim Duncan in his prime. That's like Patrick Ewing. That's like, I don't even know. I don't know if Hakeem goes for 24. Rudy Gobert looked like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar last night.
So once they lost it, it was 3-1. They lost to Minnesota. So this was the pregame, you guys. Yeah. J.J. Redick. Yes. This is not after the game last night. This is pregame last evening when somebody had the audacity to ask this.
Hey, Coach, back here. Back. As you watch the film, what do you recall about your thought process in the moment, sticking with the five you stuck with in the fourth quarter the other day? And is there an assistant or someone maybe that you'll lean on tonight, maybe to try to get, you know, some other guys involved if that opportunity presents itself?
Are you saying that because I'm inexperienced and that was an inexperienced decision that I made? You think I don't talk to my assistants about substitutions every single timeout?
No, I just think there's a lot of coaches lean on their assistants in those situations.
As do I, every single time. That's a weird assumption. All right.
And then he gets up and says, this press conference is over, Johnny.
Second most hated player in Duke history. Leitner's 1, Redick is 2. By the way, they've done surveys out there about that. And there's a Duke arrogance that is palpable. He played all 5 guys all 12 minutes the other night, and they blew the lead because of it. And then last night, whatever lineup he was going with, the undersized lineup, you know, Rudy Gobert is not supposed to have that kind of game. So Redick is catching it.
But, you know, I haven't read in State, maybe I'm wrong, that the players that he's coaching don't like him. I haven't read. And LeBron gets it out there.
Listen, LeBron got him hired. They did the podcast together. Yes. They were friends.
Right.
So everybody was like, was it Darwin Ham that got fired after really doing
a
great job?
There's so many that's been gone.
Yeah. Now, listen, J.J. Redick's going to be a great coach. Didn't have a great playoffs. You know, he will grow into that role. It's not going to make him any less testy or arrogant. He went to Duke. That's how he's going to be. He's going to be a good coach, but he got smoked. And they don't have any players to beat Minnesota. The better team won in the Western Conference.
Mother's Day, y'all, is next Sunday. Spasadel is hooking you up. Give the gift of relaxation. Spasadel.com. Right now, they're special. Is when you buy a $150 gift card, you get a bonus $50 card to use in the future. So the best thing you can do is go treat your.
So I get $150.
And then you get another 50.
And then 33% free. So another 50.
That's
right.
That's right. Exactly right. I was trying to do the math. Don't make me do math. But more importantly, right now, Steak and I are going to give you a $250 gift card. Okay? $250 gift card. And you need to be paying attention. Yesterday, Steak was talking about a party that he and his wife were going to go to on the birthday. And what did he say he needed to buy? He was going to have to go out and buy it at 404-726-0929. I know that's hard, but this is a big one.
What was the question? What did I talk about?
You and Kimberly are going to a big party for the Derby.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to go get something. And I said you have to go get something. So don't. That's it. That's all the hits. I'm just telling y'all, spasadel.com. Here's the other part, guys. I know how you like to do, how easy is this?
What do you like to
do? They can e-send it to your email. You can go pick it up and all that. It couldn't be easier. Spasadel.com. Give the gift of relaxation, a facial, a massage, a whole day. There you go.
What's the purchase, right, that has to happen? We'll take some. Is it just the first person to do that?
Answer that question. First person. 404-726-0929.
I have been doing this show for 3 decades. I cannot believe what has fallen into our lap in the world of divine intervention. Valya, if you're listening, Kimberly, my mother-in-law, sorry, we're about to put a lot of money on one particular thing, and we'll tell you what it is when we come back. You won't believe this. I didn't believe it, and I'm reading more about it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big Atlanta sports weekend. If the weather agrees with us a little bit or not, are we going to be playing? So there's like all kinds of tournament stuff going on now. High school lacrosse.
Is it indoors?
High school soccer.
Is it indoors?
No, none of them are indoors. High school baseball.
Right.
So are they all in trouble?
Today
turned out, this is nice. It was not nice this morning coming in. By the way, get on the Odyssey app. Every time you get on the Odyssey app, Mike Conti comes in here with a Kit Kat and hands us each a Kit Kat, and we love like little Halloween candies. But make sure you get on the Odyssey app because it's super important for the radio station if you want to support it and the world of conventional audio,
mm-hmm.
The Odyssey app. You can listen to us or any other radio station.
Friday, 70% chance of rain. 70? All day Friday. 79 is the high.
That's tomorrow.
Saturday, 85% chance of rain. High of 74.
80.
Sunday, 55% chance of rain. High of 75. And y'all, we got Sunday night baseball with ESPN. So.
Hey, did we get a winner of
Ricardo from Mableton gets the spa, Sedell gift card.
What was the answer?
The answer was Seersucker suit, you mentioned, that you're going to get.
Seersucker suit.
Seersucker suit.
I'm going to Miller Brothers. Yes. I'm going to Miller Brothers, and I'm going to get a Seersucker suit.
Yes, you are.
And hopefully they can hook me up. Hey, do me a favor. It's not your responsibility necessarily. Stop talking about birthday presents for Kimberly on the air, because I love her, Pam from Tootsie's. Who Kimberly's been shopping at this great, you know, the women's store Tootsie's.
Do I know the women's store Tootsie's?
Okay.
Hey, please don't talk down to me like that.
So Pam listens day and night. But what happens is, every time that you say you got to go get her something, I get a text immediately after the show. And when I walk in, it's like a friggin' fashion show. She takes one of those rolly things. What are those things with, like, we hold, hang the clothes on, right?
Yeah, rolling racks.
She rolling racks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got like 8 outfits, and she goes, I was thinking about Kimberly. Here are the 8 things I picked out.
There we go. That's so nice.
But that's not where we are.
Gotcha.
We have to travel this summer. I got a kid going to college. I've got expenses are an all time high.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan was no gifts, mm-hmm. no fancy stuff. And then when you start talking about it, Pam starts blowing me up saying, I'm all ready for you. So, Pam, I'm not coming over today.
Pam, he'll be there about 3:30.
I'm not coming over today.
He'll be there. Keep the rolling.
All right.
Next.
So this is absolutely crazy.
Woohoo!
The favorite for the Kentucky Derby is journalism. No joke. Journalism is the favorite at the Kentucky Derby.
Journalism.
What? Of all the horses, and I believe
all
there
the
were
names
so
in
on
history.
Bovada, there's I guess 20 something horses you can bet. Journalism is the favorite at +250 on my site stake.
He's been the presumptive mm-hmm. favorite with a 4-race winning streak right now, along with a 4th in his debut last fall at Santa Anita. I'm very pleased. The number 8 spot where journalism has yielded 9 wins and 94 starts since the starting gate. In 1930, the number 8 spot is the number 2 most successful. That's what he's running out of. The most recent Derby winner out of the 8 post was Mage 2 years ago. So a perfect spot for journalism. How do we not?
Bet the house.
It's
just meant
on
to
journalism.
Be, y'all.
You know I hate betting the number 1 favorite. I got to talk to my buddy Brian Lewis if he's listening.
To the universe on this. If you don't put money,
sorry,
then we are going to have a real problem.
So we're done?
You have.
What, do you
what
think
are you
Rusty?
Waiting on?
Well, let me look right now. What am I waiting on?
I do think, though, you guys listening, if you're watching the race on Saturday and you are in front of your TV or if you're at a party, and do a journalism for us, raise a glass, put it on video, send it to me.
But you got
to
do it right.
And
journalism.
And you'll tweet, retweet you or something great.
Now, we can't give you prizes on the radio.
We're going to retweet. We're going to make
it
a social.
Wink, wink, I'll probably, if you retweet us.
Yes.
Something good will probably happen. Yeah.
I think that would be so fun if you're at your, or show us your bet on one of these sites.
Yeah, I would love.
Going up to Caesars.
Or just deep day steak, I just made my bet on journalism. Because right now, that is the favorite. For the Kentucky Derby,
y'all,
we have to find out. Can you Google? We'll do it after the break.
Yeah.
Where the name came from? Because we don't even know that, right? Where did the name come from? Journalism wins the Derby right now. That's you can make on these sites. It's +252. So if you bet $100 on
journalism,
you can win $250. Sovereignty is 2. Sandman 3, American Promise at 4, and Luxor Cafe is at 5.
Journalism got his name from co-owner Aaron Wellman, who was once the, wait for it, if you needed more sports editor of his Beverly Hills High School student publication.
Wow.
So if that isn't karma in the world, y'all, isn't that great? I love it. I love it.
So, you know, every year I like to we'll do this for three strikes. If we were going to give horse racing names, so for you, I would just say you're adorable. That would be the name of your horse.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
For Rusty, it'd be why is this dad texting me? Why is this dad texting me? For Drew, it would be punters are people. Punters are people.
That's great.
And for me, like it is every year, left side of the menu. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would sound something like, and
here we go.
Down the stretch they come. It's punters are people. And here comes, why is dad texting me? Why is dad texting me? Come up on the right side. And here's left side of the menu. Left side of the menu on the outside. And here's you're adorable. You're adorable. Why is dad texting me? You're adorable. Why is dad texting me? Coming up on the outside. Left side of the menu. Left side of the menu in first. And that is a winner.
Yes.
Left side of the menu. You're adorable. And why is dad texting me? And coming in at 17th and barely limping over the finish line, punters are people.
Drew, don't shoot your horse, man.
Punters are
Drew.
People. They may have to take that horsey out back. That horsey is not
that
in a good
is
place.
So funny. I love it.
Left
good
side
job.
Of the menu. All right, let's do a
belly up. Pat McAfee had Jason Licht, the general manager of your Tampa Bears. Again, I'll try to just tell y'all if I think it's like a really good conversation to go watch the full 15 minutes or so. All the topics came up, but there was a lot about Shador, what happens in these meetings, how awkward this stuff gets. And he just bottom-lined it on what's going on in the Bucs room and who's on their draft board.
It's really not that. We put the players that are worthy of being drafted on the draft board like every team does, but then we just kind of take the and the douchebags off, and guys that don't love football and guys that have proven that they don't like it, they're difficult to deal with, and we just kind of mitigate our risk, and we're taking good, great players that are great humans.
Boom.
That was an answer about Shador?
Not about Shador. They was asking, when you interview guys and maybe you don't like something that they've done, he didn't name players. He just said, here's who we like, and then we take the a-holes and the D-bags off the list. Like, they take great people. They right. take great people.
I understand.
People.
I mean, that, I guess, to a degree, that makes sense, right? There's some bad people, really bad people, that are really good football players. So you can win with Tyreek Hill, right?
Yep.
Or maybe you can't. Well, yeah, Chiefs won with him, then, and Miami has not. But, you know, listen, talent is a thing, too. You could be a jerk, but if you love to play football, I think the number one thing.
I just think you get to manage your own office and who you want in there. Some players.
I get it.
There's 32 teams. They all have a different philosophy of who you want in your building. If you're building Atlanta Eats and you're hiring somebody, there's more to consider than they might could sell or do well. You're gonna. Or what are they going to do in this?
Well, that's called corporate culture. So, what do you want your culture? Are you gonna, you know, allow jerks in the room? Most CEO types right now will be like, we have a no blank hole policy.
Right.
And nobody's bigger than the brand.
The top selling jersey, according to Darren Rovell from Fanatics, is Shador Sanders has the number one selling rookie jersey since Sunday.
Okay.
What
else? Are there other? You have a list of the other rookie jerseys yet or not?
I there's 9 different ones, and my computer's not working, so I'm going to just pause and just have a deep breath. So, yes.
Namaste.
Yes. I'm not surprised.
Is Jalen Walker one of them? Top 10?
If I could pull it up, I would tell you.
What do we guess? That'll be more fun. I would say.
This is great radio.
Top 10. No, I would say, like, we'll tell you when we come back.
Yes.
What I guess that Jalen Walker is top 10? I think because of the Georgia thing, I would say. What would you say, Bo? I'm going to say Jalen Walker's 6.
Yeah, I think maybe even top 5.
All right.
Wow.
I mean, he's one of the best players in the draft.
Right.
So we'll see how
plus the connection to Georgia
fan reach goes.
So close to Atlanta. Cam Ward, I would imagine, if I had to guess, would be up there. Travis Hunter, I imagine, would be up there. That kid from LSU.
Travis Hunter, I can't believe, isn't one, just because he was so adorable and likable.
Yeah, but the Shador story is a big story.
You're right.
All right, what else are we doing when we come back?
We are going to discuss, what didn't I play you yet that I really, really like? I think we should play a little bit more of, you know, we have to talk about the movie that's coming out tonight. People are losing their minds. And Rotten Tomatoes is head over heels for Thunderbolts.
Okay.
So this, and I know that Bo loves this kind of stuff. So, coming out tonight.
Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, Shador, Ashton Jeanty, Jackson Dart, Abdul Carter, Matthew Golden, Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland of the Bears, and Teatro McMillan. No, not a top 10 for
I think that was a stretch only because we're the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, don't tell us it's a stretch. I mean, don't tell. Me and him, me and Bo just told you why it wasn't a stretch, and now you emasculate us on the air. I feel like Bill Belichick with some hot young girl.
Oh, that's what we have to tell everybody about just what happened with the Belichick story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, y'all. I told you.
Problem inside the house.
I told you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Journalism.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We need our big game of the night, and then we got some other things to get to for sure.
Thank you, John Foy. It's going to be, let's go with Knicks at Detroit. 7:30 tonight. Knicks are up 3-1 in that one. I would love it if, I think it's 3-2. I would love it if Detroit knocked out the Knicks in Detroit. That game is at Detroit tonight.
Well, I mean, what's great about Detroit is they get screwed on that call in a game they should have won, and then they go to New York with all the, you know, fancy people in the stands, and the Pistons just take care of business. Now, that crowd tonight will be amazing.
Yep.
What's the number on that? I'd say Pistons by 3, I'm going to say. If you get a chance, I don't know if your computer's working.
Don't get me started with this computer.
Well, I was going to say it's great radio when we're stumbling around and somebody that's a friend of ours has to send us the top 10 list and gets it to us faster than we can actually get it in the studio, which further proves our own incompetence, right?
I think people know what to expect from us.
Which is?
Journalism. I can't believe the name of that horse is journalism. That is so fantastic.
That is unbelievable.
It really is.
So 1.5.
Yeah, New York leads the series 3-2. It's at 7:30 tonight. Your late game is Denver at the Clippers.
Pistons favored by 1.5.
There you go, 1.5.
I think the Pistons go to town tonight. I don't know if they have enough talent. Cade Cunningham is that good. Knicks with their back against the wall, kind of on the road. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that Pistons crowd, they're going to be out for blood tonight, dude. That's an interesting game. And what's the Clippers? Clippers at home, they're supposed to be better than Denver.
You want to guess?
6.5-point favorites, yeah. That's
exactly 6.5.
Yeah, no, he gave it to us. Like, that's a lot of points. That just shows you how much the Clippers are supposed to win the series. They're favored by 6.5. Anyways, so.
Thanks to All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors for our tailgate and our constant nonstop Bill Belichick coverage, wire to wire. Stake, you have to tell. Do you want to
Well,
do
no,
that
I
now?
Mean, I'm not surprised for 1 second. I've been saying this on the air for a month. Like, how is this going when you have grown-ass kids? I assume Bill Belichick's a grandfather many times over. Steve Belichick is his defensive coordinator. Is that right?
Yes.
At Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this woman is throwing that family, the brand of the Carolina football, the Belichick name, their dad, into complete disarray. This is a disaster. This is a public relations disaster of epic proportion. So I listened to Edelman and Gronk's podcast. They were trying to be nice to their coach. They said, she's just not doing anything different than any other publicist, and she's just trying to protect him. Okay, whatever. There were rules. There were no rules. They were free to ask him whatever he wanted, so she should have piped down. Then Nikki Glaser, for some reason, gets on and goes, she was merely doing what publicists do. She was acting as his publicist. Well, a woman on Instagram or Twitter, I believe.
It's Instagram.
Jen Belichick, who just happens to be Steve Belichick's wife. That's Jen Belichick, decides to chime in on Nikki Glaser's comment and essentially say, oh, act as a publicist by carrying on or ranting.
Yeah, I don't have it in
and
front of
storming
me.
Out of a meeting.
So the
mocking,
yeah.
Talking smack and saying, that's a joke. No publicist behaves like she did.
Wow.
Absolutely throwing a shot across the bow.
Yep.
As she watches her father-in-law get emasculated. How's that North Carolina meeting going to be with Steve and Bill Belichick? With Steve Belichick's wife now ripping into Jordan.
I mean,
classic.
It is not going away, Steak. And this is, like I said, that was Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning and look out world. I am telling you.
All right, couple of things. I got to do Elaine Eats on Radio and tell you about this promotion with the Georgia Lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So you want me to give you three strikes and then we'll do...
Yes.
So we have Elaine Eats on Radio music and pomp and circumstance or anything like that. Let me give you a three strikes question. First of all, a horse name for a 92.9 personality. If you didn't hear my call earlier, my horse is Left Side of the Menu. Sandra's is You're Adorable. Rusty's is Why Is Your Dad Calling Me? And Drew Butler's is Punters Are People. Punters Are People.
Mm-hmm.
Give us another horse name for any one of us on 92.9 if you were naming. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. If you didn't hear, Kentucky Derby's favorite is journalism. The family member that is most challenging. The family member. We had a family member. I'm not going to name names. He had a little bit of an issue with his addictive personality, let's just say. So he would go and visit my mom. I'm in Atlanta. Oh, cousin Jeff is over. Jeff has to use the bathroom. But Jeff, my mom lives in a pretty big house. Jeff would always go upstairs to use the bathroom. And my mom later on noticed that her pills from years of, you know, having surgeries or having other things were miraculously disappearing. So we had a cousin that was coming to visit my mom that would pilfer her medicine cabinet.
Literally pilfer.
Yeah, pilfer. Let's just say Jeff had some issues.
Oh, poor Jeff.
And at some point, my brother had to say, Brother Bramp, he also was doing something outside their house one day before he came in. They were watching from the window. Let's just say he was in his car.
No!
And same guy.
No!
And Bram had to be like, what were you
doing? Piper, no!
Piper.
Piper. Jeff, no!
No! Mom's like, why is he gone so long, and why does he go to the bathroom upstairs? Mom?
And Jeff, please don't come over anymore.
Hey, horse name for 92.9 personalities, family member that is challenging, and your favorite room in your house. Favorite room or area of your house.
404-726-0929. Okay, got it. I'll put it on the Twitters.
0929.
Okay.
404-726-0929. What is it? What is frustrating you?
No, I'm good. That's too funny about cousin Jeff. Why did you think about the... Oh, I know what you're talking about. The family member. That makes
sense.
Yeah,
because of young Jordan, who is making things difficult.
So Steve Belichick, who's the defensive coordinator at North Carolina, is 36 years old. So this whole...
He's 12 years older than his dad's girlfriend. Not a good look. Should we do Atlanta Eats on Radio?
Let's do it.
Georgia Lottery is giving you a chance to win the Georgia Lottery VIP Platinum Giveaway on 92.9's contest page. Enter to win 4 VIP Platinum Scratchers and a Georgia Lottery gift bag that includes a $100 gift card. That's not all. You can win a VIP Platinum Weekend dining experience, which we came up with at Atlanta Eats. Includes $2,500 in cash, 4 dining experiences, and more. Go to visitsecondchanceGA.com. SecondChanceGA.com for more info. Today could be the day. Today could be the day. Cinco de Mayo around the corner. Best spots for Mexican and Cinco in Atlanta.
Ooh.
Tell me how many of these you know. Nueva Laredo, the OG, right on Chattahoochee.
Delicious.
That is the biggest party of the year. One of my favorite restaurants in Atlanta. They do a great job. Velvet Taco. Numerous places around town. Taqueria del Sol does a huge party, multiple locations, and maybe the best tacos in the whole city. Super Rica, a little more high-end, but delicious. And they'll crush it over Cinco. Also, Little Ray's, another Ford Fry invention. A couple of others in town. What are the chains people love? Frontera, right?
Frontera's awesome.
Tacos and Tequilas.
Mm-hmm.
They do a fabulous job as well. There's one in my buddy in Marietta, Casa Grande, for the Marietta Family Restaurants. They do a great job. Seven Tequilas, another great spot, more authentic Mexican restaurant. Casa Cielo in Sandy Springs on Roswell Road. You've been there.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. That's delicious.
Bar Taco, multiple locations, a little more bougie. Alma Cucina, two locations, downtown and in Buckhead. Again, authentic Mexican. Cheeto and Padres in Buckhead. I'll have a huge-ass party going on
great
there.
Great deck.
Yep. Tuzza Taco, I believe that is on, Howell Mill Road. Tuzza Taco, right near our offices. Red Pepper Taqueria.
Delish.
Been around for years.
Can I give a shout out to one at Lake Oconee? Pedro's. How about those burrito taco? They do the burrito taco with pure brisket that's been soaking.
Yeah.
It is insanity. In that dip, I dip, you dip. So
La Paria. Great brand.
Oh, I love La Paria. Good
call. La Paria and Peachtree Corners that I visit every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah, man.
We go White Tuesday.
Unless Tara's working because they closed, you know, at 10. She didn't get off work till, but yeah.
Oh, so
they, Taco yeah. Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
That's when you're supposed to.
In honor of LeBron being home.
I'm doing that right?
Also, Rockin' Taco in Roswell as well. Those are some of the best Mexican. Nomas Cantina as well. Thank you guys for contributing to that.
Mm-hmm.
We should do that more often. I do it on V103. I do it on Star 94. It's like, you may want to do it on your own show. But as Mike Conti said, respectfully, I think you talk enough about food on the show.
No, I think people like
it. Do you really need
it? It reminds you of places that you don't think about even, too, you know, because I'm bad about going to the same restaurant.
I love Nueva Laredo.
Yeah,
that's
it is
just
good.
Such authentic, awesome place.
Yeah.
All right. 404-726-0929. Do you think my mom is cringing right now with that Jeff story?
I'm cringing. So, yes, she's definitely cringing. You're going to get in trouble for that.
It's like when you pull up in someone's house, you may not want to
stay in the car
Let's
that
just
long.
Just say,
don't leave the windows open.
Have a small mirror by as you come to visit.
Stop.
And you had no appetite when you came over for Shabbat dinner.
Oh, no. Oh,
it's amazing. Sorry. I'm not putting his business. He lives in Boston. That's not his real name. There's no. It's not going to get
back to him, right? Mm-hmm.
All right. Horse name for 92.9 personality. Family member challenging your favorite room or area of your house. 404-726-0929. Steven, the Vicodin that the doctor prescribed a year ago to me, I'm having a bad back. All the pills seem to have disappeared. They have disappeared. Mom, let me try to get to the bottom of that. When's the last time Jeff visited? Oh, he's awesome. He comes every 2 months.
Oh, Jeff.
But he has a bladder problem. He's always...
always in the restroom. Way upstairs.
Why is he...
He likes the elevation.
He's been gone quite a long time, but he's got a very vibrant personality when he returns. He's very excited. Never wants to eat my food, though. Never wants to eat. All right. Dan in Woodstock.
What's
a horse name for?
An old friend of mine was a bellhop at the Fountain Blue, and he used to go out and take the stuff upstairs. And then he'd ask, can I use your bathroom? Same thing, right?
Yeah. Just clean it out.
Oh,
clean that sucker out. What's the name for a 92.9 horse?
Steak and Eggs.
Steak and Eggs. Family member that's challenging.
It's a toss-up between my mother and my oldest son.
It's close. I was ready for like a cousin. No, he's my kid and my mom. Favorite room in your house?
Got to be the screened-in porch out back.
Oh, I love a good screened-in porch with a TV out there.
Yeah, nice.
We're just going to Tinker. Get him the last word. Tinker, horse name for a 92.9 personality.
I got two of them. For Randy McMichael, it would be Beastmaster because he thinks he can whoop every animal on the planet Earth. And then Mike Bell, just call him Leadfoot, and that explains it.
Here comes Leadfoot down the stretch. Beastmaster, family member that is challenging.
One of my grandmothers. She was always stuck in left field.
I don't know what that means, but We won't go too deep. And your favorite room or part of your house?
I got a wide open living room / kitchen area. I'm able to cook and do everything and watch TV at the same time. And the only thing dividing it is a bar. And I have all my bar stools, and I sit there every night. And that's my favorite part.
It's all we need in life. It's all we need in life. Thank you, buddy.
Make me a sandwich, cha-cha. This is good. Cha-cha the Wonder Horse. Good stuff, you guys. Keep them coming.
Here comes cha-cha. Down the stretch they come. Hey, thank you, Bo. Sandy, I'll see you next week.
Sounds good, y'all.
Rusty will be here tomorrow, or otherwise known as Why Is That Dad Calling Me? Thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.